My hot brothers and sisters, I'm very pleased that we'll meet in April, and we already have between us some ideas about what it is that we'll be undertaking. Many of us, if not all of us, not just in the group, but among all beings, encounter obstacles, and often these obstacles cause us to set aside that which might be considered to be the most important pursuit. So, at course level, one could say that the pursuit of wealth or fame causes many beings to set aside the pursuit of peace. Internally and externally. I've always sought that people would accept the urgency of the need to work on themselves to find that internal peace. And over the last 40 years, I've seen that process evolve. What it is that through me has been presented to the people who have come. It started many, many years ago in my early 1980s with Gurdjieff work and Fourth Way work. And that thread has never really left. But it was around that work, the need to work on self, the urgency of the need to work on self, that my first groups assembled. And then it evolved, and it's changed. Now, there is still an urgency, but that urgency takes a very different character. It is still important that we work upon ourselves, but more important is that we set ourselves aside, that we do our very best to bypass the obstacles and apply ourselves. We are in a time where there are many complex divisions. There is tremendous aggression. There's much wrong view, and there is much hatred. So before 24, this little assembly has come together in order to support the practices which it has been instructed will support a harmonious future. And it certainly in my experience, it is most unusual the masters, the Rinpoches, the light masters, should make such specific predictions in terms of date and in terms of possible outcome. But what is also significant is that the remedy has been prescribed, and that's what we are addressing. But because the remedy has been prescribed, it doesn't mean that it is an easy remedy to apply, because there are obstacles. So ordinarily, I would given certain practices during the meeting that I'm going to suggest now, maybe in parts, when you begin to accumulate the connection with this particular practice. So many of you, if not all of you, are already reciting at least 108 times a day, I hope. Om Mahom Bhaja Guru Padma Siddhiho. The Benza Guru mantra. Those of you who would like to learn the seven-line prayer should do so and should recite that, I suggest, first, and then recite the 108 mantras. And of course, one can do more, but there is now another part that I invite you to add onto it. Our physical well-being is, of course, aligned with the physical well-being of the planet. And so, over the last recent years, I've been investigating and exploring the impact on the cellular body, and particularly the glandular system, of humming. And so this is what I invite you to do. The seven-line prayer, one 108 repetitions at least of the Benza Guru mantra. And then begin to hum. Everyone can hum. There's nothing special about it. But at a physical level, it has been scientifically verified that the act of humming, generating that specific vibration, produces certain substances in the body which are beneficial to the glandular system and generally the cellular body. So what I invite you to do is to hum, and I would say 15 minutes. And during that 15 minutes, empty effortlessly your mind and just become aware of the central channel, or the sushumna, if that's more in your experience, between the perineum and the crown of the head. But it is an empty and boundaryless central channel. Do your best. You don't need to produce anything. You don't need anything other than the sound and the potential awareness that the humming, the sound, not only is it benefiting your cellular body, but more importantly, it is benefiting all beings at a tangible level because it is a tangible vibration. What I also suggest is that during that 15 minutes of humming, that you begin to familiarize yourself with the text entitled The Benefits of the Vajra Guru Mantra. It is a text that was revealed by Tulku Karmalingam. And it is, I will make it available if you haven't seen it. Most significantly in the humming, of course, it is like hum. Hum. Maybe the mantra comes through the humming, but essentially it is the it is the vibration which is made in the upper part of the throat. You know it is the correct sound because when you close your nostrils with your fingers, the sound stops. As you read and hum, you're reading the different explanations of the syllables, in particular, the hum as the supreme essence of the Buddha family, as the heart of each and every Dharma protector, as the heart of the Dzogchen Atti Yoga, as hum granting the attainment of all that stems from primordial wisdom, hum that conquers the planetary demons and gods of localities. Hum, all the wrathful activities are accomplished. Hum averts the harmful powers of gods, demons, and human beings. Hum crushes the forces of gods, demons, and humans. Hum, whatever accomplishment you wish for is attained. Hum transfers one to the central Buddha field of immutability. Hum, the level of fully ripened awareness is attained. It is not a thinking practice. It is, if you like, a bodhisattva practice. It is a practice that you engage in the knowledge that our well-being as individuals, as a collective, is as important as the well-being of everybody else. Or everybody else's well-being is as important as our own. Cannot be separated. So, on the one hand, you have a very specific chanting practice, and then there is this rather looser humming practice that comes after it. It will extend your practice. It will mean that you will need to add, of course, another 15 minutes. But find it. It is essential, I believe, that as many of us as possible, and this is happening worldwide, many, 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 many beings are engaged in this kind of practice, approaching it from different traditions. And so while lively discussion is one of the characteristics of human exchange, we don't have time for that. We need to act. And so that's the first part of the additional practice. I'll then add to this as time goes on, so that by the time You arrive at the meeting that you will have accumulated many hours of experience in what this practice and the subsequent parts of it. So that when we meet some of the more subtle and challenging instructions can be carried out. And these are not challenges that are going to be necessarily in the gross field. They're subtle challenges. And this is where we need ultimately to open ourselves and apply ourselves. It means, for example, exactly like what we do with a mobile phone. You look for a signal when the signal is weak. Right? You will know how to do that. But that's in a coarse level. At a subtle level, we need to find certain directions and instructions. And that may come either through dreaming or through vision or through manifestation. And I'm absolutely no doubt of the potential of manifestation. And I'll recount to you maybe another time the appearance of a magical salamander, which some of you may have experienced with me many years ago when we undertook the first burial here. So that's all. Thank you, Yasmina, for translating. And thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please ask them either privately or on the group. This is responsibility of maturity. It's a responsibility of significance, but it does not need to be heavy. So go lightly, trust in the source, the supreme essence, and the heart of all the deities and the protectors of the hidden treasures, so that they may be revealed to some of us for the benefit of all beings. May you be happy.